And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and a special thank you to Scott Sakoff, all the way from San Diego, Click and Brick Confidential, with his special guest, Richard Cohen, who's running across the country 20 miles a day. It's going to take him 5 months. He started in Jacksonville, ends up in San Diego in July. I think I'm going to go out there and visit him. How about you guys?
No.
Okay, we hear a no, but this is a real estate panel. If you heard the no, because that's what you hear these days in real estate. No, no, no. It doesn't appraise enough. There's no money out there. Am I right? But let's introduce in this corner, Jan Long from Cast & Long Commercial.
Good afternoon. There's all sorts of money out there. We just can't get to it.
Yeah, there you go.
There's a new term they coined for that. You know, it's called, let's see.
No money. Show me the money. Jerry Maguire.
Called deep pockets and no arms.
Yeah, there we go. You just made that up, I bet.
Well, of course.
I'm going to have you
like
run
it,
across
really
the country.
Good, yeah.
And our newest panel member, this is really exciting because this gentleman is just loaded with integrity. I mean, the guy is great. Great lender, residential lender, Ken McCormick from American Financial Lending. Ken, welcome to the show.
Well, good to be here. Good to be here.
Well, thank you. And, of course, this is your first real estate panel. You're going to be on as a permanent member of the panel. Of course, we should say, Terry, Cass, we hope you feel better.
Yeah,
because
okay.
You're pinch hitting for Terry, right, Jan?
I'm the Terry du jour, yes.
Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah, exactly. So, Ken, before we get to our special guest, Ken, tell us a little bit about you as well as American Financial, your residential lender. Just a little bit of a background for 30 seconds, and we'll get right into it.
Yeah, we're a broker bank that's located up in North Phoenix, and I've been doing this for about 7 years now. And seen some crazy times in the last few years here. But we do a little bit of everything. We do VA and FHA and all the residential kinds of loans that need to be done, USDA, conventional, like I said that already, hard money loans. So, yeah, just a little bit of everything, and I'm glad to be here talking about it.
And he has a great radio voice, doesn't he?
Works for me.
That's good. You really do sound good.
Thanks.
Now, did I read correctly, you're a father of six?
I am.
No way. You look way too young.
I feel old.
Father of six. You haven't been married for 21 years, have you?
I have.
Oh, my gosh. Jan, any comments on that?
Well, congratulations.
Okay, very
you good.
Ambitious man.
Yeah.
So
no wonder you feel old.
That's right.
And, of course, a returning veteran to our show. You were on, this is Ladd Cameron from National Funding, I should say. When you were on, what, about 8 months ago, maybe 9 months ago?
That's about right.
Yeah, so welcome back.
Good to be back.
Remember that show, Welcome Back, Cotter? Who? No one saw that.
That goes back a ways.
Yeah, oh, I dated myself. Okay, I do date myself, and that way I don't have to share the popcorn. So, anyway, no one laughed at that one? Come on, Kurt's laughing. Let me introduce you to our producer, Kurt. Right behind you.
Hey, Kurt.
Okay, there we go.
Kurt's wrapping up.
Still, yeah, about this time you're probably going to play that song, right, for our real estate panel? You know the song I'm talking about, Kurt? Okay. This is going to be a surprise song for you guys.
Dave.
All right. No response in the studio. Okay. Thanks a lot, Kurt.
We're duly impressed, right?
What is that?
Huh? There's
Dave.
Yeah. Okay.
Drum roll.
All right. Let me mention it again.
Well, I can
Dave Isaac of Breakthrough Thinking. Okay.
I can see where you keep him.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Very good.
That's right. I hope Terry's getting a kick out of this. You said he might call in?
That was the story I got from him about 10 minutes before I got here.
All right, good. And you just got here, so
right.
About 10 minutes ago. All right, well, let's talk about, since we have a commercial lender and a residential lender and a commercial broker, we got a lot to talk about. First question, let's just start to chat about this. What's the current lending environment? Let's start with the commercial end first, and we'll go to residential. What's going on?
Well, there's money out there. It just depends upon the situation and a lot to do with the occupancy. I mean, if you've got a building that is less than 70% occupied, it's hard money time. Even the bridge loans have a break-even debt coverage. And once you get up to over 90% occupancy, then there's all kinds of money out there.
Now, describe a couple things for the listeners that may not know what hard money means and also a bridge loan.
Okay, hard money means you mortgage your firstborn It's basically money that runs anywhere from, most of the hard money I've been doing is minimum 10-11%, 12-13%. Some of it even goes up to 18%, has points. Duration is 6 months to 2 years, depending upon who you're lending from.
How many points, typically?
Some of them, I've gone as high as 5 points, but
who?
You know, most of it, I'd say, it really depends upon your leverage.
Yeah. And what's your sweet spot here as far as the building goes? Is it like a 20 units to 200, or is there...
Don't care. On commercial, as long as 5 units and up, they don't care.
And who's doing this? I mean, 6 months to 2 years, I mean, that's you're banking on the fact you can, I guess, refinance or raise money. Is that going to be an issue? I mean, what I've heard, I'll just throw it out. We've had Elliot Pollack, you know, the economist and real estate consultant on our show.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's very awesome. And he thinks that we're in, you know, at least till 2015, perhaps, you know, a very slow growth. So, if someone took out a loan for 6 months to 2 years, I mean, isn't that really risky?
No, because the majority of people that are doing the hard money loans, most hard money lenders look at the experience of that individual. Mm. It used to be on hard money, can you fog up a mirror? Well, that's really changed.
Yeah.
I mean, the hard money lenders that I'm dealing with, they're running credit, they're looking at taxes. They're looking at that person. They want to know that this person has a good track record and that they are going to be successful. And there's automatic value added when you've got a complex that's maybe 50% occupied, that the guy turns around and it's 90% occupied. There's enough value added that you can get a loan to take out the hard money loan.
So that's a good point right there that I think can at least give comfort to people that have confidence and the skill level to be able to create more occupancy.
It's really changed because before it was totally, you want hard money, you're willing to pay, fine, here it is. Not anymore at all.
It's all risk, reward. You got to really be careful. The due diligence is there, what you're saying.
In fact, I have some hard money lenders that will not even lend if you've gone through a foreclosure.
Mm.
Because they're saying, wait a minute, how am I going to get a loan to be taken out of my loan if you have a foreclosure, because you're not getting a loan if you have a foreclosure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you define hard money. How about bridge loan for the listeners?
Bridge loans are a loan that is a little bit more expensive, but it's a bridge to get you from the current situation of that complex to a situation that you can get a normal loan and take out that loan.
So what's the difference between that and a hard money loan?
It's just cheaper.
Cheaper and shorter time?
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, my typical bridge loans, I think the best bridge loan I have out there is 6.25%.
Mm.
Most of them are about 7.5. They're usually anywhere from 1 to 2 points. Max is about a 70% loan to value. That is with the acquisition right now. And they are looking at a period of up to 2 years, and then you can get a normal loan, which right now, because Arizona is what they quote as economically depressed, all your government loans max out at a 65% loan to value.
Gotcha.
Case by case, you can get more, but it's pretty rare.
Now let's go to Ken, the residential lender here. So what's going on with the lending environment with residential? Can you describe?
Once again, there's money out there. I think the media sometimes kind of paints a different picture.
Yeah.
It is definitely a lot more difficult to qualify for money, and probably rightfully so. I think before, like you said, fogging the mirror is all you needed to do. You need to breathe and tell them how much you made and write a number here and you got money. And so now I think they've kind of gone, you know, the exact opposite direction. They've kind of said, you got to qualify for it. You got to, you know, you have to have income and you have to.
Say what?
Yeah. you have to qualify for it. So that's the difference right now. But there's a lot of banks that are lending right now. And it's not that difficult to get loans.
So what does a bank look for in terms of a borrower when considering a loan in the residential area?
Well, much like the commercial side, now they're looking at, I mean, obviously your credit. They want to make sure that you're credit worthy. They want to make sure you have money to be able to pay the loan. It's kind of, you know, pretty basic stuff.
And you have to have 85% occupancy, right?
That's a little bit different. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of investor loans. I mean, you know, investors can get stuff right now. It's a little bit more difficult. Primary residence is more of what we're doing. A lot of FHA, which probably 2 or 3 years ago, that was unheard of. You had the 80-20 loans, conventional, and now almost everything we do is FHA. So FHA is a big part of lending right now.
How about employment history? Is it still like 2 year or mm-hmm. 2 years roughly?
Roughly.
And self-employed?
You can do self-employed. Still that's 2 years? Where you need 2 years taxes for that. Yeah.
And do they ever make exceptions? I mean, some people that, you know, a lot of people are starting businesses now because they just got laid off or companies have gone under. Are any exceptions if someone's starting a business, they want to buy a house and they've only been in business, let's say, a year?
No.
No exceptions. That's a tough one, isn't it?
And see, that's before they had the stated loans that would allow somebody that was self-employed to say, yeah, I make this much money.
Gotcha, yeah.
But those are gone. And so you have to either go to hard money or other means. So
now FHA, what's some of the criteria there? Is that different than a conventional loan?
An FHA loan is more designed for, you know, the people that are new to market, first time home buyers. It's really geared for that. You don't have a lot of credit, perhaps. You don't have a lot of down payment. Yet 3.5% down is the minimum. So an FHA loan is really kind of geared for that. You know, somebody that doesn't have a very good score and doesn't have a lot of money to put down. And the other nice thing about FHA is you have to put 3.5% down, but that can be gifted from whoever.
Oh, is that right?
So it doesn't have to be your own money, where conventional, they require you to have your own money to be put
down. That's good to know. And how about the FICO score? They don't really look at it much?
They do, more so than they used to. But, you know, I think the lowest we're able to lend on is about 600. 600 score is the lowest we can go.
Oh, 600. So I think in the old days, I think it was lower than that.
Oh, yeah.
Or I don't even think they looked at it very much.
They did, but you were in the low 500s. You could get it done very easily with low 500s.
So times have changed.
Yeah, and most banks actually really want 640 and 660. But there's a few out there that'll dabble in the 600.
Now, as a lender, do you like these times better, tightening it up and really making sure everything is in order? I mean, compare both times, you know, pre-crash to now.
I think before it was just so loose that it caused a lot of problems, as we all are, you know, privy to. But I think now it makes more sense what they're doing. However, I think it's a little bit too much. And we were talking a little bit earlier, the residential side got heavily regulated because we apparently were the reason why the whole economy crashed. You know, residential lending was the reason why we're all in this big time bad, you know, place. So the government had to get in and fix it and do all these dumb things. Personally, that I think they sometimes have gone, they've overreached a bit. But you know, I think we needed to have that done. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the real estate panel. We have Jan Long, we have Ken McCormick, and Ladd Cameron, and we'll be right back.
At Beer and Baum and Spain PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the real estate panel starring Jan Long of Cast and Long Commercial Group, pinch hitting for Terry Cass. We hope everything's going well with Terry. And our newest panel member, Ken McCormick from American Financial Lending, and our special guest, Ladd Cameron from National Funding. Now I'm going to ask the two lenders in the room a question. What are some of the differences between commercial and residential lending as far as criteria maybe the banks look at? Ladd, you go first.
Well, why don't we just go down the line? FICO. FICO is very important in commercial lending. They have a 660 cutoff overall. And it used to be not as important because you had a lot of investors that would have 5-10 pages worth of credit, and if you had that, your FICO was lower. It could be all good credit, but it was just too much credit. And now they are looking heavily at FICO. One of the things that we kind of laughed at during the break is he was talking about cash flow. Cash flow is not as important in a commercial loan as it is in a residential loan. Why? Because they are looking at the building itself, and does the building have cash flow? As far as if the bank gets that building back, if the loan is a someone defaults on the loan, will that building support itself? Will they have to add any cash to that building during the time that they have it back? That's what they're looking at. So we underwrite them for the debt coverage of the building to make sure that it's a 1.25 debt coverage or greater. The higher the debt coverage, the better probability of getting them a loan. The other thing that they really look at is liquidity. Liquidity is so important. They want to know, A, that this guy has his own money. He didn't borrow the money. In fact, to give you an idea, I have a lot of Canadian buyers that will come on down, and I don't know how many of them feel that their cash down payment is an equity line. If a bank knows that they pull that cash out of their equity line, they will not get the loan, period, because it's 100% borrowed. So they look heavily at the liquidity, and they want to make sure that you have a minimum of 6 months principal and interest for the loan in liquidity after the loan closes. And even though they tell you 6 months, they're looking for a year. So liquidity is very, very important. And they also, and I just touched on it before, experience. Man, that is just, there are a lot of local banks that will not lend to an individual buying a multifamily home or buying a commercial, I don't care if it's retail office, if they live in California and they're lending in Arizona.
So very tough.
Yeah.
Is that what you see, Jan, also?
Oh, well, yeah, you see that all over the place, especially you'll have the folks out of California, which we get a lot of our business from California. You'll have a doctor, a neurosurgeon or something over there that runs over here and buys a property and then basically goes back home and doesn't look at it again. Banks aren't really interested in him anymore.
Now, I can get loans for those. Yes, I can. But they are lenders that are more nationally based. Mm-hmm. But local banks, small banks, tell them, bye. So they're not interested.
Very different. Now, Ken, as a residential lender, of course, experience doesn't matter. I mean, if you never own the home, that's okay.
They don't care. Unless you're an investor, it's a little bit different. But, yeah, if you're going to buy a home as a primary resident, no, that doesn't matter. FICO is definitely going to be a factor in the conventional world. But FHA, it's less of an issue. Liquidity is definitely not an issue in residential. You can have assets, but it's not that important.
Do you need a reserve? Are they looking at so much principal and interest to pay out over?
Depending on the kind of loan, yes. I mean, especially if it's an investment home, they're going to want to have some serious reserves. But primary residence, no.
Wow, so much different.
It is much,
so much easier. It sounds like.
Well, yeah.
It would seem like, right, Jan? What do you? Well, you're more commercial.
Well, yeah, a lot more commercial.
Yeah, and well, let's. Oh, go ahead.
There's one other thing that they look at on commercial lending that they didn't used to look at 6 months to a year ago, or I would say a year to 2 years ago. They look at your global indebtedness. It used to be they just looked at the property itself. Does that have the proper debt coverage? But now they want your entire schedule of real estate. They want to know the cash flow on every investment property that you have. They want to make sure that you don't have one property that is going to pull down the whole ship.
Interesting. So people have learned the lesson from what happened the last couple of years. And like Ken was saying, maybe they've gone overboard, but I guess that's just compensating for trying to protect things.
I'm not sure the banks have gone overboard. No. I think the regulators have gone overboard.
Okay, gotcha.
They've got some. Yeah. They never seem to consider the unintended consequences of their actions. For instance, the rules we were just speaking about, appraisers, and right now appraisers' hands are basically tied behind their back. They have to look back just, what, 2-3 months?
Yep.
And that's about it. So if you might be right next door to a hovel, and your very nice house is severely affected by what has sold recently in the neighborhood.
Ken. Yeah, that's another thing about appraisals that it makes it tough too, because you know you're being compared to what's going on in the, at least in the residential world, in the neighborhood. So if you've got a lot of foreclosures and short sales, it artificially brings down the value, I think. I mean, it just seems like there's no way to get the values back up, and we're. There's a couple of states in the union that are considered by the banks depreciating value states, and we're one of them. So our values are going down, not going up.
So it's still dipping.
So it's tough to get it back up, though, if you're comparing yourselves again. All of the foreclosures and short sales are going on in your neighborhood because it just keeps on getting lower and lower and lower.
So this is going to be a long time before some of these houses go up, or is it location by location within the state?
I was going to ask that about not commercial too.
It's not necessarily going to be a long time till it goes up, because I honestly think we're headed towards hyperinflation, and that is going to absolutely have the homes go up in value.
Hyperinflation, describe that for the listeners.
Hyperinflation is...
Is that like ADD something?
It's kind of funny. I had... I had a meeting with Fannie Mae, and they were talking, they were concerned because they felt that in this summer from June on, that it would not be only inflation, it would be hyperinflation that would hit. And they feel part of that is because they feel that politicians feel the only way they can reduce the national debt is to have hyperinflation, because it would make those dollars less dollars by the value going up on the other, you know, assets.
So they can create that artificially, the politicians?
They're saying that they feel that there's no way that they're going to really slow that down or stop it.
Now, what would hyperinflation be like in terms of percentage? What would it be going up? Like
double digit.
Really? So if you own a house now, Good news, right? Except probably that if you're on a variable interest rate, that'd be a problem too, right?
Interest rates would go up for sure, yeah.
Ooh.
But I mean,
and bad news.
Well, yeah. And everything else is going up. I mean, look at what's happening right now with concrete, with gas.
Yeah.
Gas was $1.08 a barrel. I mean, it was $85 just how long ago? A few weeks ago.
Right. So really, everybody that is not involved in selling commodities of some sort is going to get the shaft here.
Mm-hmm. I think true appreciation is not going to hit until, I would say, 4 to 5 years. But I do think the values will increase through the hyperinflation.
And sooner than 2015, then?
Yes.
Wow. So maybe some of the houses, what, would it get back to where it was pre-2005? Or not that high?
I mean, a lot of those homes are selling for, you know, 40 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
So you would have to have a substantial...
Hyperinflation.
Yes. Period of...
You'd really have to be hyper.
And you'd have to have somebody who's employed.
That's okay. Ken, why don't you mention that? How has that impacted the residential? I mean, you see that all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah. And people are coming to us, you know, we can't afford our mortgage. We want to refinance. You can't do that without a job. If you don't have a job, we can't do anything for you.
So loan modifications type of thing?
Loan modifications are, it's one way for people to go. But, you know, even then you have to have enough money to be able to afford the new payment that you're going to get from the bank. So it's tough, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed in the Arizona Republic, it was last week, they said that the money that Obama put to Arizonans for modification of loans, the first batch was $134 million. The second amount that he sent was another $134 million, and there was only one loan that was modified in Arizona, one individual, and it was totaled less than $40,000 savings.
Well,
where's the $268 million?
Yeah, who's accounting for that?
The same sort of thing happened for there's a program called Neighborhood Stabilization Program where they're pumping a lot of money in for us to be able to buy homes. Well, that same thing happened there. I mean, you talk to the city of Phoenix and the county of Maricopa County, I should say, and there's like maybe 200 or 300 people that have been able to take advantage of those. They were looking at thousands of people to be able to take advantage of those.
Sounds like your typical government program to me. You know, you spend $1 billion to save 40,000.
But the sad part is where that money go. I mean, that's one thing if it helped people, right? But if it didn't even, if it only helped one person, that lucky person, that's like winning the lottery. Not really. If he won the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened with TARP money.
Yeah.
I've had guys in my office that they counted on that TARP money that not a dime went out. It was just placed into the banks to increase their liquidity. And I mean, guys that lost complexes that were 200 and 300 unit complexes because there was no TARP money.
That is just unacceptable. That is just incredible. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the real estate panel with new member Ken McCormick from American Financial Lending, Jen Long, Kasten Long Commercial Group, and Ladd Cameron and National Funding. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the real estate panel with new panel member Ken McCormick, American Financial Lending, Jan Long, Kasten Long Commercial Group, and Ladd Cameron National Funding. And let's get Terry to call in. You think he'll call in?
Come on, Terry. Give us a call.
Give us a call.
Get off your deathbed.
Yeah, 602-296-3632, 602-296-3632. And we were talking about regulation, and during the break, we're asking the question, does regulation really work? Is it working? Who wants to start? Nobody wants to start. Okay.
Everybody's shaking their head.
They're speechless. Ken's going
to
say something.
It's just frustrating because all of the regulation that's supposed to help the situation is just making things worse. And so that's the frustrating part. It doesn't seem to be helping more loans become, you know, easier to get, viable. Everything that they've put in place just seems like just nonsense, to be honest.
Another impediment is.
Yep.
Each time it seems like that. That's true.
Very, very tough. So how is it? Let me ask a general question to everyone. Of course, Ken is residential, Ladd commercial, and Jan, your commercial broker. How has this impacted the industry as a whole in terms of competition? Did it shake out a lot of lenders, brokers, agents? What's going on there? Is only the strong survived on this one, Jan?
Well, it certainly looks that way to me. If only the strong have survived, or else they've all been shuffled off someplace else. We see so many places that are literally out of business, and indications you'll see a form. I was looking on the MLS, the residential MLS. I was thinking about getting an MLS key, which I've never bothered to have before. And at the bottom of it, that one of the questions is asked is if you just want to get out of the business, check this box, you know, and bring your key in. I'm going, now that's never been there before.
Yeah, well, that's funny.
So yeah, a lot of realtors have just gone by the wayside. There has not been a huge amount of money made for the realtors. A lot more work and a lot less money, and you know, a lot of the lenders that were around are certainly gone now.
You don't
see a lot of that. I did speak with one good friend who's a lender, and he'd gone almost 2 years without a paycheck and was very excited about closing a very big deal that made up for a lot of it.
Wow.
But I think that's happening kind of across the board. Ladd, are you seeing that as well?
Well, what's kind of funny, Ken and I were talking about this because he couldn't believe that all our company does is commercial loans. He said, how do you survive? And I told him it was kind of interesting. I used to do quite a bit of business with Banco Popular. You're probably acquainted with them. They do a lot with Walmart. You'll see Banco Popular's. And John Leinbach dealt with him all the time. This guy was with Banco. He then went to a life insurance company. And he called me up, and this was about 6 months ago. And when John called me up, he said, man, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? He said, well, I changed companies. I'm with this life insurance company. And he said, I went through, and he said, I contacted every broker that had done business with Banco Popular, every commercial broker. He said, guess what? I said, what? He said, you're the last guy standing. He said, they're all out of business. You are the only one that's still in business.
Wow, the strong does to survive. How about you, Ken? What have you seen?
Well, one of the changes that they made this year was that residential lenders had to be licensed. And so that, by attrition, just got rid of a lot of folks that were just kind of in it just to be in it. And I think the numbers are, I can't remember how many loan officers there were before. I think it was 50,000. I think it's down to 5,000 or 6,000 now.
Wow.
So
incredible.
There's a lot that have left the business. Yeah,
that is huge. Now, one other question. I'll go around the panel for this. What does it take now to stay in business in your particular expertise, Jan? What does it take?
Blinders. You have to just.
I mean, from skill level to beliefs to passion. I mean. It's got to take something. The ones that remain have something going on.
Well, I think it's a combination of not knowing good well enough to go do something different, and
there you go.
And a persistent faith in the real estate business. I mean, good grief, the real estate business has supported me individually for the last 30 years and done quite well at it. And the last 2 years have really been ugly, but. You know, considering over the long haul how much good it's done for me, you've got to be looking at
long-term thinking, a long-term deal.
Sure, sure. Yeah. You're standing in the tunnel and you don't know whether the light at the end is a light or a train coming, as they say. But you've got to have faith that it's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I do believe in Phoenix. Phoenix has got some huge, wonderful things going for it. We're at rock bottom now. You would think that that people would be out here trying to buy this town because. You know, another 10 years, it's going to be a hopping place.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Ken, how about you? What does it take to stay as a residential?
I mean, together with Jan, what he was saying, I just love it. I just enjoy it. There's going to be challenges with anything you do, but I just really, really enjoy it. I'm a newbie compared to the 30 years in the business that Jan's been in it. But
yeah, but you have six kids. That makes all the
difference. Yeah, you've aged rapidly.
Yeah, but that counts for five times. That's
not
30.
Well.
Yeah. But I just it's fun. I mean, as soon as that goes away, I think that's when I would probably jump ship. But I just enjoy who I work with. I enjoy helping people. I mean, everything about it is just the reason why I'm still in it. But it definitely has been, you have to look at different – you have to kind of reinvent the wheel a little bit. You got to find different niches. You got to find different ways of getting more business. It's just kind of a different ball game right now.
It would help if you loved the paperwork, too.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
All right, Ladd, the last man standing. I think I know your answer. You're the last man standing. Well, you have no competition.
I agree. Number one, you have to love what you're doing. I think that's absolutely number one. But to me, what we've done, we've really cut our overhead. I mean, I've let a lot of people go. People understand when you're working night and day and when you're doing your absolute best, they understand that maybe they're not going to get a pay raise for the next couple of years, but you know what? I'm going to do everything to make sure you're employed and that you are receiving your paycheck. So we've just tried to cut our overhead in the business. We've tried to cut our overhead personally. And, we used to go to Hawaii twice a year. You know, it's been a few years since I've been to Hawaii. So, there's just different things that you do that you sacrifice, but if you love what you're doing, that's what counts.
And that really applies to any business, too. A lot of people just, the thing that comes to mind, we have the Green Roundtable show the first Tuesday from 3 to 4 on Breakthrough Thinking. And what's interesting, a lot of people have done green thinking and technology and been in that business for years. So when there's opportunities, people are looking for a job versus a passion. And you can't do that in this type of industry either. Either you have a passion and you love it, or else if you're looking for a job, it's too hard right now to just look for a job as a lender or as a broker. You better really love it. You better really be good at it, too. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yep.
All righty. No comments on that one. Okay. Well, let's go to what are some of the current rates for let's start with residential. What are some current rates for loans? You talked a little bit about residential versus conventional.
One of the focuses that I'm looking at right now are just the 10-year, 15-year loans. These are really, really low. I mean, 3.875 on a 10-year loan. There's a lot of folks in that boat where they can refinance and they can, get some great rates. But, in the 30-year realm, you're looking at the fives, and in the 15-year, you're looking in the fours.
Well, that's pretty darn good. And if it's true about hyperinflation, you better get your loans now, right?
Yep.
I believe so.
I mean, that could be – what do you think the rates would go to under hyperinflation?
I mean, they could go double digit like you're saying. I don't know.
Do you remember the 1980s?
Jimmy Carter?
Yeah, it might have been 21%, I remember.
Yeah, that was Carter.
I was a new CPA at the time at Kenneth Leventhal. We did only real estate as CPAs, and 21%. I mean, I can't even imagine that, right? What would that do to this economy if it was at 21%?
Well, it pretty much shuts down the house buying, but it doesn't stop the commercial.
No, it doesn't. Tell us about that.
Well, commercial is cash flow. Even though 20%, 21% may be a horrible hit if the property makes sense, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not that's another factor you throw in there and not just a deal killer by itself.
It'd be pretty difficult, though, because a lot of those properties are almost underwater now. So.
Right. Well, anybody who wants to refinance is in big trouble.
Yeah.
How about current rates for commercial? I mean, you talked about the hard money, but how about conventional?
What's funny, commercial is substantially higher than your residential. Locked a loan yesterday, 10-year product, Fannie Mae loan, was at 6.02%. It'd been hovering from high fives, low sixes, somewhere in there. If you are to your local banks, the smaller loans, let's say under $1 million, most of those are anywhere from 6.5% to 7.5% on your local banks. Your government loans are always lower.
So as the last man standing, as you said earlier, so your competition, there's not a whole lot of competition for you?
Not really. I mean, sure, there's competition out there, but if you know a lot of people and they're still with you, I mean, you're fine.
Well, that, you know, that makes it nice. That sort of ties into the question. If you have that passion and you really love what you do, I think you're going to be fine despite the economy. Would you agree?
I've got a question for you guys. So there's a lot of talk now about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac going out of business. Mm-hmm. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's residential. Is it
all? Nothing to do with commercial.
It's not going to affect commercial at all.
Yeah. What they really screwed up already is HUD. Hmm. FHA and HUD loans. There was virtually no money about 18 months ago, 18 months to 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And the current president, they cut HUD, the employment, by one-third. And the loans in there tripled in volume. I have loans that are HUD loans that have been, we started last March.
Oh, gee.
And we're still trying to get them underwritten by HUD, that they have been at HUD for many, many, many months, and we just can't get their final blessing on it. And this is through, you know, direct, you know, MAP type of lenders that the loans are being done. They still can't get it.
It's very hard to hold a buyer and seller to a deal over the course of a full year. That's incredible.
I won't do a HUD loan for an acquisition. I mean, forget it.
Ken.
Consequently, FHA is probably 90% of my business. That's all.
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the loan of choice right now. Most people just go with that one. And so it's probably a little bit different than the commercial side, because it sounds like you guys are struggling with that a little bit. But that's all we do. We do so many FHAs that
that's good to know. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with the real estate panel. Interesting discussion. I'm going to talk about or ask questions about short sales, foreclosures, and the financial strength of the U.S. banking industry. So stay tuned for that.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Real Estate Panel with new panel member Ken McCormick from American Financial Lending, Jan Long from Cass & Long Commercial Group, and Ladd Cameron from National Funding, a commercial lender. Ken is a residential lender, and Jan is a commercial broker. Now, off there, we are at the break, Ladd, we were talking about SBA. So there is some good news. Actually, it sounded like great news. Why don't you describe that and go into some of those
opportunities for owner businesses that want to buy a building?
Sure. If you own your own business and you want to buy a building, there is money out there that is readily available. And up to 90% money, loan to value. So pretty much unheard of in commercial. Usually, you know, in these days, you're stopping at 65 to 70%. So this is up to 90. This does not apply to an investor that owns, let's say, an apartment building. Not a business like that. I'm talking about a company that maybe does air conditioning, or, you know, they actually have a product that they're selling it. They want to buy a building. There's a lot of money there, and it's not that hard to obtain.
Wow. See, that is a great opportunity for owners that lease right now that maybe have the opportunity to buy that existing building or another building.
Yeah, I know a great realtor, so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What is his name? Who are you going to call, as Ghostbusters used to say? Ken, let's talk a little bit about what you hear all over the news is shadow inventory, foreclosures. What's going on? I hear banks are just maybe holding on to foreclosed property, not releasing them into the wild, as we'll say.
Well, I've heard those rumors. It looks to me like I think last year we had more foreclosures than we ever have. So we're just kind of where are they? So I think they're talking about the banks holding off, but there's still a lot out there. There's a lot of short sales, a lot of foreclosures out there, and that's not really what I see. I mean, that's more of a real estate agent,
yeah.
but that's what I've heard, and that's what they're kind of hinting towards.
How about in the commercial arena, Jan? Have you seen that in LAD?
What, abandoned buildings?
Yeah, I mean, banks holding on to, of course that. But, you know, like a shadow inventory where they're not, the banks are holding on to them, they're not releasing them so they don't hit the market.
You know, there's a tiny bit of that. I don't think you see that much of it. You see banks going through a process where a property really should have been sold, you know, 6 months ago or 8 months ago, and they're trying to go through the process of the short sale or the, getting the owner to cough up another $5 before they foreclose or whatever.
Right.
But I don't think you're seeing that as a shadow inventory. Our shadow inventory in apartments is the houses. There are so many houses out there that are vacant that it's driving down prices for everything pretty much across the board. Although it doesn't seem to be affecting the A properties, the multifamily. Mm. You do see that in the C's. And it's not across the board. It's not like you could throw a blanket over Phoenix and say it's all like this. It's not one big bubble. It's sort of, and I heard this morning from a guy, it's more like bubble wrap. If you can look at the submarkets, there are submarkets that are doing quite well, and there are submarkets that are just in the toilet.
Yeah, and short sales. Ken, you probably have seen that. What's happening there? Is that still going to be very big in 2011?
I think so. I do a lot of short sales, actually. The problem with short sales is not something that turns over pretty quick. You know, I've had some short sales that have taken up to 9-10 months just to get the job done. And
wow.
That gets real frustrating for everybody involved. So I always tell people if they're wanting to get a good deal, then kind of steer them towards the foreclosures. There's one thing I was going to mention about short sales that if anybody's considering doing that, if you have a short sale on your record, they consider that as a foreclosure.
Mm.
And if you're going to get an FHA loan, you have to wait 3 years before you can get another loan. On the conventional side, you have to wait 7 to 10, and they're even kind of going towards 10 now. If you have a foreclosure on your record.
7 to 10 before you can get another loan.
Before they'll finance you again. So, but there's one thing that the FHA is allowing you to do, though. If you have a short sale, if you're gonna short sell your home and you want another loan, as long as you make the payments all the way to the end of the short sale process, you can get another loan. FHA will look past the 3-year mark of being in foreclosure. So, I don't know that the problem you have with that is people say, well, the bank won't talk to me if I don't. Not make my payments for 2 or 3 months.
Right, I've
heard
that.
When that happens, the alarms go off at the bank, and they go, oh, we better do something for this guy. You know, and a lot of times they'll go into the bank saying, listen, I'm in trouble, I lost my job, or I'm less, can you do anything for me? And they basically say, no, I can't do anything for you. So the way that you get them to talk to you is by being late on your mortgage, Well, it's kind of a catch-22. If you're late on your mortgage, you're not getting another mortgage. So
How do you solve that? Any suggestions here at the real estate bank?
You don't. And if it's a Fannie Mae loan, as I understand, there's no point in even bothering because they won't talk to you.
That's right.
So yeah. It is a catch-22. You got to make your you got to be current. But if you're current, they won't talk to you. So how do you even do a short sale?
I just know there's some real estate agents that have really been had some luck talking to the banks and, you know, kind of just saying let's move along, and they've been successful. But, you know, so for so long people have been saying, oh, you got to be late for us to be able to get this process going. I just would caution anybody that hears that to rethink that, because you're not getting another loan for at least 3 years.
That is outrageous. I mean, I don't know if it's outrageous, but it's very difficult, lad.
And then also when you're late, it's hard to catch up. I mean, they're already pushed to begin with, and it's pretty easy to spend that money someplace else. It's like a one-way street.
Yeah.
One of the things that we are seeing is the sale of notes.
Oh,
which
really?
Is kind of unique. And we do have the ability to finance notes. But I'll just give you one quick story. I had one investor owns a rather large, it's like 100-some units in Tempe. He had someone that came on his property, and the guy was just looking around. The manager said, hey, what can I help you? Do you want to rent something? He said, no, I'm looking at the place. She said, it's not for sale. He said, yeah, it is. He said, what are you talking about? He said, you know it's for sale. She called the owner, who's in California. He called me. And the bank was selling the note, even though the mortgage was $3 million, he was current. The problem was they had appraised the apartment complex at 1.8. So we approached the auctioneer. We bought his same note for $1.4 million and sold it back to him.
Oh, interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Do you see that too, Jack?
Well, I've heard of it. I've not actually been involved in any of that, but I've heard that happening.
So opportunities is what you're saying.
The guy said pocketed 1.6 mil.
Sure.
Keep your eyes open.
We did have a local owner that was approached by his bank and told that that if he would give them 30% of the value of the note, that they would let him out of the note.
Oh, is that right?
But it was a bank that was in trouble and going down the drain, and they were just trying to get some cash into their coffers before they took the big fall.
And then go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's my guess. A place that you haven't been to in 2 years.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
Maybe next year, right?
Yep.
Now, let's say in 30 seconds or less, each person, what's the financial strength or lack thereof of the U.S. banking industry? 30 seconds, lad. What's going to happen?
I think that we're going to be okay. I mean, as far as a lot of people just feel that lending isn't there, it's going to stop, that type of thing. No, I feel that, yes, money will continue. Do I think that we're going to be in for a ride? Yes, I do.
Yeah. Ken?
Yeah, there's a gentleman in my office that sits on a board of a regional bank, and he talks very highly of the banking industry. It's the ratios are good. The capital ratios are good.
Compensation on Wall Street is very good.
Yeah.
I thought I would add that. I saw the movie Inside Job. That's why I did it. Did you see that?
Nope.
So good. Jen.
I like to think in terms of beer. I don't know. I don't know if you remember what it was like in the 70s, but all of a sudden there were some breweries that were snapping up all the little breweries, and pretty soon you just had like 5 or 6 breweries or 7 breweries, and that was about it. You know, all these little private labels became private labels that were exactly the same beer. Carling, for instance, bought up all these beers, and every one of those beers turned into terrible beer that they sold under the old label.
And we'll see commercials called Bank Light.
I'm afraid I'm seeing that with the banks, too. I think when we get done, when the fallout is done here, we're going to have just 4 or 5 U.S. banks. Now, we do have all sorts of international banks coming in, you know, with their initials. And they're around here gathering money and loaning money. But I think the U.S. banks are going to go down to maybe 5 or 6 major banks, and then it's going to break out the way it has now with the beer. Later on, there are going to be the individual breweries that are making some good brews. But
Your beer, don't you? All right. Well, Ken, contact information. How do they get in touch with you?
Website, kenmccormick.com. That's the best way to get a hold of me.
All right, Jan?
Jan Long, 602-432-9882, Cast & Long Commercial Group. Go to our website, castandlongcommercialgroup.com. And, of course, my
email is jan@klcomgroup.com.
Excellent. Lad.
602-490-0143. That's directly into my office. Or email me at lad@nationalfunding.info.
And Ken, we'll go back to you because you maybe want to give out a phone number.
Yeah, 602-743-4935. Thanks.
Well, thank you all so much. This has been great and good information, valuable to learn and gain insight before you buy real estate, before you get a loan. And we'll see everyone Friday on the Sports Show talking about the Phoenix Coyotes.